the Mac Show. Yes, we're here. New BTN Prime HQ. You can hashtag it now as well if you want. We've got the new place. It's up and running. The lighting's up and the whole thing's working. The boys are joining me for our first inaugural Mac Show from the new place. So it's a bit echoey at the moment because we've still got things to go up on the wall. We've still got things to finish. So hopefully over the next couple of weeks, audio quality is going to improve. But thank you very much for coming and joining us and seeing the new place. I'll take you on a little tour in a minute. Just to start us off, though, joining us to discuss the week in Mac, an esteemed panel. Starting us off, Lee.
Hi. Hello. Hi, guys.
Lee Peterson, who does our guitar show. There will be a new episode of the guitar show coming up soon. So watch out for that one. How you been, mate?
I'm good. I'm good. I think my muscles have recovered now from helping move in.
You came and helped.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, thanks very much, mate. We had a few people came up and helped. There was about 10 of us here in the end, and it made life so much easier, pal. Thank you ever so much for your kind. I'm sorry I just didn't get to buy you the curry afterwards.
We'll do that again.
We'll do that. Yeah, we'll come up and have a curry. Welcome. Next to him, it's Adam from the Broom Cupboard.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right, mate. You remind me of Philip Schofield from the 1980s.
Oh, yeah? What'd he do?
Well, he was a children's TV presenter, and he presented it from the Broom Cupboard.
From the Broom Cupboard?
Yeah, and every time I see you in there, it's like Philip Schofield from the Broom Cupboard. You look nothing like you, but...
I don't have the fancy digs like you do.
Nah. No, definitely not.
I'm envious. I really am.
Well, you'll get them, mate. You just need to...
have a proper studio.
Well, you got a new house. Yeah, I'll show you around the whole thing in a minute. The theory is as well that there's going to be a facility here that people can buy and use as well. It's not just me.
No, I know. I mean, that's the dream, right? That's the... Yeah. You've got your own little mini brick house.
I have. It's a white house, actually. It's more presidential than that because it's everywhere. It's Magnolia.
So I've been so. now. You've got me every time I'm out and about in my neighborhood. I'm like looking around for spaces.
There you go. See, so that's what you need.
Dreaming. What so thanks for the dream.
Yeah, sorry about that. I actually looked into this last time I had a tattoo done. My tattoo artist said, "Oh, you should get somewhere. Not that expensive." Yeah, right now. And I dropped my monitor. The big one, the curved one. That went down. That's the only victim of the entire move was that, and that's £700. So, down the poop chute.
Well, congratulations.
If you're going to drop something, drop the right one.
Yeah, good one. beneath Adam, it's Doc. How you doing, boy?
I'm doing good. I'm actually feeling a little bit sad for the monitor. I think we should have a moment of silence for the monitor.
I think we should have a whip round for the monitor. Don't be bloody stupid. There's no point in hanging your head. The monitor's gone, mate.
This is crazy. That would just drive me nuts, honestly. But you know, at least nobody got hurt. That's the key.
It wasn't my best day of the week, as you can imagine. So,
yeah. Did we get a playback of the drunken sweary hose with monitor drop? Is that a thing?
I didn't actually swear. I just, when it fell over in the car, I just looked back at the road and was like, oh.
So was it like a pothole and then the jiggy like knocked it down kind of thing?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was only driving from, I showed my walk the other morning from my house on Periscope, from my house up to here. And it's 3 minutes. In fact, actually, there was a bit on Sunday where Jack was helping, the lad who works with me. And I drove the car back and he walked back to my house for the next load. And he actually got there ahead of me. It's actually quicker to walk to this place than it is to drive from my house.
So. Oh my goodness, that makes it all the more worse.
It is fantastic. I cannot say enough how much I love this place. It is great. I wish it was just free. That would be awesome.
Yeah. It is not Prime then.
It's not Prime, no. It's Prime HQ. Like I said last night, I had to stop calling it Prime because it ain't free. And last but by no means least, Patrice Brendamore, how you doing, man?
Hi guys, pretty good.
Apart from your Wi-Fi speed, you're still a bit choppy vision, mate, from last week.
It's not Wi-Fi, and I have no idea what's going on because nothing should be interfering with Skype.
Ah, you got my disease.
Yeah.
Spread it.
And it's not Wi-Fi, so it's just, I don't know. All those people here around in the area using the internet because it's a day off or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nope, is German law not wanting you to talk to Auslanders?
As Mandalore, yeah.
That could also be true. I'm going to move in about 2 months' time, and then I hope I will get fiber. So that It's just like that.
Are you moving to Birmingham?
No, just in Koblenz, so staying here.
Koblenz. Muller in the chat room says it's within drunken crawling distance, and last night I put that to the test. I got a little bit steamed, I have to say. It was just Gary, just get passing me beers over the monitors, and I was worried he was going to drop them in the computers, so I had to catch him. Okay. Do you want to see the place? I did show it around last night on the big show, but not everyone that watches the match watches the big show. Right, here we go. I'll take you on to roving cam. So, there's Muller. He's here watching the show. How you doing, buddy? Oh, in focus. He's got an IKEA stool.
The Blues down at Manchester.
I guess that's the least that Sandy could do for a working desk. So there we go. I'm also now totally free of everyone because I've got my own little wireless mic set, you see. So I can rove everywhere. I can go to the toilet and I can mute it, although I didn't mute it last night a couple of times. So there's line five, and there's you boys on the Mac Pro that does all the hard work. And then... there's the big screen and there's the live feed from Wirecast. And there's a lot of stuff that needs tidying up. The cables have got to do a bit of work and that kind of thing. But it's getting there. I've got a big lighting rig, 1500 watts. And it doesn't get too hot either. And Muller's videoing me, videoing him. There we go. That's a view out the back window. Not very nice. Here's where we keep the manuals for all the electronic equipment in the oven. Because there's nowhere else to put them. And then through here, if you come out the back, I've got...
How's your insurance work with that, keeping the manuals in the oven?
I don't know. I haven't got a clue. I figure I can get them online.
You might want to edit that part of the video out before you send it out. Fine.
So there's
just in case you need to make a claim.
There's the front door if you come down the stairs. And what I'm going to do, we've got some IKEA furniture that needs assembling here, but we'll do that next week. This wall here, if you see it, look, as you come in the premises, you've got a nice big open space. If you buy a BTN caricature, then your BTN caricature will go on this with all the other people who've got a BTN caricature. This will be the BTN Wall of Shame.
Nice.
Sweet.
Nice. So, good idea.
Of ours guys are going to go up there, and then anyone who buys a caricature, they get to go along on the wall alongside us. So back up the stairs, little cubby hole to store stuff, another view out the back window, there we go. And then if you come through, there's the web studio that broadcasts everything. Sorry about the flicker off the lights. I've got a nice little storage space in here, which is going to be a bit dark, unfortunately. But there's some steel cabinets that's got all the expensive stuff in. There's the key in paint. That's going to be my cool thing. You get that from Wixies, and it keys beautifully. And it's only £15 a tin. And if you buy three, you get one free. So, not bad. This is Jack's office at the front. There's the view out of the front window, and there's Jack's desk there, and just some cabinets. We've got nothing done in this. And then this is the photographic room. So there's a green key wall there that'll key everything out. Oh, there we go, back in focus. And then on the opposite side, there's a blue key wall as well. And then there's going to be, at that end, there'll be some backdrops hanging from the ceiling here that will come down to the floor that people can stand against. At the moment, Jackie's sorting out all the cabling we've got, because I just buy cabling when I need it rather than going through what I've got, because I don't know what I've got because I can't be bothered to go through it. So he's making a catalogue of all the cabling we have. And that's it. That's my little studio room. There's my Virgin Hub. 160 megabits a second down. Oh, gotta love it.
It's not fair.
So that's the whole place. There you go, fellas. There's the broken monitor. And there's a toilet as well. So there's the pinch seat right there. And if I go on mute, I can come in here and I can have a whittle during the shows. So there you go, chaps. That is BTN Prime HQ.
One of these days, you're going to go like Adam... All right, no, let's make it so you need a long pee because you've been drinking. Kelly's going to be on a rant. You're going to be like, man, now I don't have time to take a pee. I got time to take a full crap. And you're going to forget to mute yourself. And right while she's talking, it's going to be like, oh, yeah. You're going to... And we're all just going to be in a chat room just waiting for you to come back.
Well, I can hear you as well. So, although last night I did go out on to find something while you were talking, Doc, and I forgot to put it on mute. So I was talking to Ellis over the toppy, so I do apologize, old boy. It wasn't deliberate.
Nothing but pro all the way.
Hey, as long as Ellis is cool.
I'm going on the course to use the moose button next week, so, you know. The week in Mac, what's been happening? What's going on? What could be nothing. Coming up? There's not anything really much happening in terms of news, not I suppose. Much. There's a bit. But WWDC is Monday, isn't it, of course? And the keynote's going to be there. We've got a whole pile of stuff to talk about what might be coming. I mean, the big thing was, like, everyone looked at the pictures and went, oh, look at the icon thingy there. That's the same shape as the Apple TV. And there was a massive rumours that Apple TV was going to be massively revisioned at this and upgraded. But the latest that I've heard is it ain't coming.
Not hardware. Yeah.
I mean, that is just the big news outlets covering their asses. I mean, they've talked about the Apple TV coming, now they've talked about the Apple TV not coming, and whatever happens, they can point to an article and say, see, we talked about it. We knew.
Yeah,
wasn't it the New York Times though? And then Apple, aren't they one of the ones that Apple tend to kind of leak stuff too? Maybe they're trying to set expectation.
Yeah, New York Times.
It's mostly when David Pogue was there, who's no longer there, and it was also Walt Marsberger at Wall Street Journal, who's no longer there. He's now part of the Vox, Verge, Fusion, Recode, SmashUp. So I think the funny thing is, if I'm a designer at Apple, I'm like purposely putting shapes of stuff on posters from like five posters ago, knowing that people are going to try their damnedest to guess what it is, even though it has nothing to do with anything. So, like, for the next one, I would make triangular shapes, and everyone would be like, oh, my God, Apple's buying Doritos. This is cool. Yeah. We're going to finally have, like, you know, the Apple Elite Doritos. And I'm like, yeah, I just wish people would stop that crap. I miss Christmas. Adam, I know you heard me say it 1,000 times. Patrice has heard me say it 1,000 times. So this is for my British fans who are new to this. I miss Christmas. I like the days when we all used to shut the Farfignugan up and wait till the day everything was announced so that we can just all sit there and enjoy and salivate and talk about it for a month after with fresh bated breaths, not guessing, not the articles that come after with, oh, I'm disappointed. Apple is doomed because they didn't make, you know, a 55-inch TV with a gigantic, you know, like touchscreen remote because, you know, Munster kept talking about it for 20 years. I don't know. I just kind of miss those days.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, that's almost how it is this year. I've tried to do it last year, but I mean, this year I have probably seen every rumor just because of Deconstruct, but I've actively ignored them, and my expectations are pretty much non-existent. I'm just going to wait for whatever Tim and the gang are going to announce next week.
And is then that the new group from the 70s that sings Celebrate, Tim and the Gang? Celebrate good time. Come on.
That would actually be pretty cool.
He's going to do the Tim Cook arm wave thing.
So is that the end of the show then, fellas, now? Because you're not interested. You're not going to speculate. So might as well go on, right?
For me, I'd like to see something on the Apple TV, because for us at home, I think our PlayStation 4 is pretty much taken over the living room now. When I go back to use the Apple TV, I'm reminded how kind of old it looks and how we got a second gen, but just how slow it is. So I really think, you know, from kind of Apple's perspective, they are really lagging behind. So that's why I was a little, I mean, I'm not going to be disappointed until Monday when the actual stuff happens rather than all the rumors, but yeah. I would like to see them at least do something on the Apple TV.
I think one of the things that I really like about the Fire TV over Apple TV is the voice control. You know, that ability to just hold a button down and go Peaky Blinders and bang, it pops up. That's and you know that you've got it loaded, you've got it in the store. Do you want us to go and buy a DVD off the net or something like that? You know, that's something that Apple really lacks. And then the other thing is, you know, and we keep hammering on about it, but we've got to start a campaign. There needs to be a petition to end Front Row. front row has got to frigging go. Yes. It has been 12 years, 12, 13 years now. We've had one-way scrolling. So you've got 600 films and you scroll all the way down to Z. You've then got to scroll all the way back up to A rather than just rolling it. Or rather than saying, just show me all the films that start with a Y. Just start me showing all the films that start with an M.
Or just use Siri for it. Like you said, I mean, just say, hey, I want this movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is the New York Times saying absolutely there's going to be no announcement surrounding the Apple TV? Or are we talking about, because, you know, WWDC is a software show. It's a developer show. So I think for sure there is new hardware coming and they're going to have to talk about to developers new features, because I think a big part of the update is going to be apps and services and things like that, including HomeKit and home automation. So I think they're going to have to talk to developers about that so they can start building apps. I think what's going to happen is we'll hear about the Apple TV. This is my instinct. We'll hear about the Apple TV in terms of the software update, which will hint at maybe what the hardware is going to be. Whether they'll show hardware or not, I don't know. They possibly could show hardware and just say, look, it's coming in the fall. You know, developers get ready for it. So, I'm not ruling it out 100%.
And that kind of deals with the why aren't you showing us any new hardware now type thing. You know, where's the thing that launches with it? It's a developers conference. Therefore, we're telling the developers this is coming. This is going to be the hub. I mean, they've been confirmed, haven't they? That Apple TV is confirmed as a central hub for remotely controlling HomeKit enabled accessories. So they're going to have to do something fairly soon.
They did talk
soon.
About that last year. So I'm surprised anybody was surprised about that.
Yeah.
Nobody seemed to have noticed it, though. But I knew back in September that this was happening because it was somewhere in the HomeKit documentation or something.
Yeah, so for sure, I think we're going to hear about a major software update for Apple TV. Whether they will mention, you know, actual new hardware to go along with it, I'm kind of 50-50 on, a little bit lukewarm on. They could easily talk about new software and not mention new hardware.
Yeah. I mean, just let
people assume it's going to work on the current stuff, right?
Yeah. Just what they did last year with the iPhones. I mean, they were hinting at that there might be a change in screen sizes and developers should get ready. But at no point did they say, hey, there will be a bigger iPhone.
You can't see Apple ignoring 4K either, because this is now the time. I think in terms of new announcements for 4K, you're running out of time, because no one's going to be wow with 4K in another 6 months, because there'll be too many things that are out. I mean, the 4K TVs are down at below £1,000 now. So, you know, and they're good quality ones at below £1,000 at 60 inches and things like that. So it's not something that they can ignore and cannot cover. So they have to release an Apple TV that'll deal with 4K at some point, even though they can't stream it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things about this is, okay, we are in a position where 4K is growing. You know, it's kind of crazy, though. A lot of good content hasn't even hit there yet. On the old Netflix, which is what I love the most, and I have a 4K TV now, and I never really cared about this stuff until I got one. Now I look around for stuff, and there's not a lot. There's Amazon, and then there's Netflix. Outside of that, there's not an awful lot. So it would be great to see it's coming, but there's not a lot of things that are shot that are worthy of 4K. So, I mean, that's a big thing. But I think the reason why, also for the HomeKit thing, that Adam and Patrice and I are all, like, sort of sitting around. All of us are, like, HomeKit people. Like, I have a house full of Philips Hue bulbs, and I am absolutely dying to be able to do more stuff. I mean, it's already cool that now I can turn my light on and off with my watch while I'm doing the podcast. I can add a little bit more light or add a little color in the back. I don't have to leave, you know, the comfort of the seat. But Apple TV, it definitely needs a fix on so many things. And I literally, after switching over to Fire, just because I wanted to try voice control, I really have a hard time wanting to go back. And somewhere between the Xbox One and the Fire, I've gotten used to yelling at the TV. So even when we're watching Apple TV, I'll be like, Xbox, pause when it's time to grab another drink, whiskey. You know, it doesn't work. And like, same thing for, like Emma's over, she's watching cartoons, and Emma's like, Xbox pause, uncle, it's not working. And I'm like, yeah, because we're on the Apple TV, hold on a minute, you know. So here's the five-year-old's gotten used to it, and yeah, we need help on Apple TV in the worst way.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're not going to say they're doomed if they don't do anything, right, guys?
Right. No, I mean, here's the thing on 4K. I think we're way too far away from the content being there. And historically, I don't know why Apple would change this. Historically, Apple sort of lets the accessibility and availability of the actual material sort of drive their decision as to when to implement it, as opposed to, they've never been an early adopter on, you know, sort of the next format. And that doesn't bother me so much. I know it bothers other people, but I mean, look at how long it took them to get to 1080p.
Yeah.
Even on the Apple TV, you know, 3, or was it 3 that brought that, or 2? I can't remember. But I mean, they were way late to that party. But it was mostly because, you know, for a long time, yeah, you could get an HD TV. Prices even came down, but most people didn't have HD content that they could get. Now, I think Apple waited a little bit too long on that one, but I don't expect them to be super early. So yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen a ton of 4K stuff really available, and I think Apple's sort of looking at that. So they could build hardware that's capable of 4K, whether or not they're going to actually promote it or support it. You know, that remains to be seen. I think they'll wait till they can actually have streaming content that's being pushed out in 4K, at least, you know, from major networks and things like that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. It will happen. It's just the question is when. I mean, when the content is ready, when Apple has made the deals with all the studios and whatever, Netflix and so on, so that they can actually provide any content. Because what good is a 4K Apple TV box if you can't really use it for anything, because all the content is still 1080p?
Yeah, but they're going to be the last person at that 4K party if you're looking at streaming boxes, and I don't think they care about being the last person.
Yeah.
No.
You got to remember bandwidth as well with 4K.
Oh, yeah. I don't know
what it's like in the States, but sitting in the UK, bandwidth is patchy. I know, Ewan, you got a cracking fast line there, so you'd be all right. But certainly, you know, maybe out in the sticks a bit more, it's not great. So, you know, even 4K, even though you get through Netflix, I don't know how many people in the UK are actually having it. It's not a priority, I don't think, 4K, certainly from a consumer perspective, I don't think.
I mean, it's not from a pro perspective either. As a video person, I don't want 4K. I'm happy with 1080. Most of the stuff that goes out is perfectly acceptable at 1080. It's at distances that no one will tell the difference. It's on projectors in conference rooms that really just, you know, 720 would be more than enough. What I want is 240 frames a second at 1080 on the cameras that are coming out now. And they're not. They're all giving 4K options. And I really don't want 4K at all. Couldn't give a stuff about 4K.
It's too cumbersome. I've got too much
storage. I'm just never going to use it.
It seems to be the trend that everything is produced in 4K now, no matter whether it's actually ever used for anything.
But it's the same thing with, you know, megapixels on cameras.
Yeah.
You know, everybody keeps bumping them up, but, you know, and Apple's still sitting at, what, 8 megapixel on the iPhone cameras?
Well,
still look great.
If someone says to you, this is 4K, and they show you a glistening bit of water or something like that that's perfectly lit, you go, wow, that's really cool. And you can have that on your own camera. They look at it and go, well, if you put 1080 and 4K side by side, they won't tell that much of a difference even. But if you show them a piece of video like Apple did, where you see a guy running up to a jump rope and then it goes to 240 frames a second when he jumps in the rope, as they did with the iPhone 6 Plus, everyone at that point in that auditorium went, ah. Oh. And I show it to people now and everyone goes, I'm getting a 6 Plus. I'm going to go and get a 6 Plus this weekend because I want that for the kids. I show them my daughter skipping up and down at Exmouth, and then I slow it down in an instant so it's 240 frames a second. They're all like, wow, I want that. Mm-hmm. I want that. And that's what they want. People want that. That would be a far more sellable specification. That would sell your camera instantly to the average population. I cannot fathom this at all.
In the short term, certainly. I mean, the point I was making is that on the production side, everything is going 4K. And I think the reason for that is, especially in the bigger productions, that they are fearing that a few years down the line when they want to, I don't know, re-release whatever they are producing or just syndicate it, that it will look, I mean, that we will have the same situation we have right now with SD versus HD. And just because they didn't spend the extra bucks to produce 4K, although they could have, that the content will suffer. I don't know whether that's true, but that is my guess.
Well, the 4K production is because of the fact they're not shooting in 35mm anymore. So you shot in 35mm and you could overscan that to beyond 4K, so you didn't have a problem with it. But now everyone's going, I don't want to make film anymore. I don't want to expose film. There's a tech issue of, I should be getting more technologically advanced, and 35mm film is retro, so I'm not doing it. And there's a few old schools that will carry on. They're all doing it because they want the higher quality, but they know that the 35mm stuff isn't something that they want to carry the liability of as well. And you run the problem that you expose 35mm and some dickhead fogs it, then you're stuffed. So you know, there is a much more of a reliability and an instantaneous feedback with 4K if you're putting big budget into productions. But what sells your mass market isn't your red cameras, it's the one that people want to take on holiday. And if you produce one that's a little bit more expensive, I mean, this is a point for Apple to come in, we're going to redefine the pocket camera by making the iPhone a little bit thicker, putting 1080p video on it at 240 frames a second, and you'll end up with production quality video there at 1080 that you can use to make your holiday movies. They would sell
you nailed it right there. Totally nailed it, because they that's almost an Apple line right away. It sounded almost Tim-esque when Ewan was saying it. We've redefined, actually it sounded like Johnny because of accent, but we've redefined the pocket camera, and they technically already have, but there are some small things out there they can still do, which is proven by the third party apps out there that take care of some of this stuff, including things like the guy Michael from Fast Camera doing with some of the 4K and some of the video editing and things like that. But to this very day, Ewan is dead solid right. When you slow-mo any video and you show it to people, they just go insane. Like, oh my God, how'd you do that? I'm like, yeah, that's my phone. Especially to the muggles. So when I take Emma to the pool and I, you know, throw her like 10 feet in the air and then let her splash in, and then I had a slow motion of that because I have my phone set up on the side over there, it like blows the whole family away. Like, how'd you do that? And I'm like, that's my iPhone. You all guys have the same phone.
And Apple just released this week, they just released a new set of shot on iPhone 6 ads. And a lot of those were slow-mo videos. So they are definitely taking advantage of people using this, and people seem to be interested in doing slow-mo, just as you said.
So you're taking advantage of people, don't pause, because we're gonna get the hate mail.
I was gonna do me Johnny Eye for you.
You went all white.
I was gonna do me Johnny Eye for you. We've revolutionized the home camera. What we've done is we've made it 240 frames a second at 1080p. Who gives a shit about 4K, eh? That's what I'm saying. that work? No.
It's awesome.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Now it sounds like Johnny.
You confused Syncons. He thought you lost the background. Nope, that was on purpose, mate. That was awesome.
Yeah, they say I can do a Johnny Ive impression whenever I like now.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
I might put some other colours behind there. I might put some other backgrounds. The Taj Mahal 1 week or something like that.
You know, where they have the little blue sensor that checks the thickness of the mill. It's like the little pin that comes down and it has a small crystalline blue. It's a kind of a thickness checker because they run sonic through the metal to see how thick it is. You need that part of that bit of the video running behind you in the corner. We've constructed it out of a single piece of aluminium. But you're from Birmingham. He's a steel guy.
Yeah, no, he's from Northeastern. Isn't he Newcastle?
I thought I read this week that Mark Newsom's on a mission to kill aluminium at Apple. Did anybody see that story?
I saw that story.
Are we going back to powder coated metal then?
I don't know. I didn't read the piece. I only saw the title, so that's why I'm bringing it up, because I'm a pro like that.
If we go back,
I would love powder coated metal. I would almost love it to go to a situation where we could almost do with what is that company called? Color PC, Colorware PC is doing, but you could do it from the Apple with a certain selection of colors. Because as a person who etches into powder coating all the time, powder coating is pretty badass. It doesn't scratch. It's very easy to polish. It's very easy to fix. And it's very engravable.
And it looks like shit.
Well, it depends on what you're powder coating it with.
Oh, mate, don't you remember the white goods era? The Scully white goods plastic, era?
Bro. Yeah, that's plastic. Never mind that.
I remember a tiny computer that I had, and it was powder coated. And the powder coat went all yellow because they put the wrong fixer in it after about a year. It's powder coat shit.
I had a powder coated tower, PC tower.
They're going to all textiles.
You're joking.
Wow. That would be crazy. Powder coated rims.
Skeuomorphic. We're going to have soft, fluffy MacBooks.
I would be guessing some kind of compound ceramics. I don't know. Something.
Are they going to mimic the leather that's in the Apple Jet? But it's going to be fun.
We're getting somewhere.
Not steampunk. Skeuomorphism was dead.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, skeuomorphic.
But I mean, can you imagine a leather MacBook with stitching?
You'd never
get it hot.
It's going to get hot. You'd never get the lid closed.
Nope. it would look good after a few weeks of usage.
Well, it depends on what type of leather you use. See, that's the thing about materials. There's a wide range of what you can use. So certain leathers actually look better after they get older, which is why those lawyer briefcases that cost like $1,200 with no logos on it, that's why they're so awesome, because they get better as they get older.
I have no idea. I thought the story was kind of crazy, because I think aluminum is almost a perfect material for a lot of things.
I think it is. So. And they spend so much money tooling. It'd be really hard for them, right? No, it wouldn't be hard. They got more money than Methuselah. But it would be really dumb to retool after you spent years perfecting what you basically got. And Windrider's cracking me up with the kangaroo leather, because for some reason I thought of Kango, like in LL Cool J or Run DMC. The Apple Kango.
Yeah, but I mean, that's Apple. They are willing to throw out what they know and what they used to do for something that they think is better. They figure out a way to use some other material and it's better, cheaper, whatever, it's just better in some aspect for them.
If they figure out a way of getting white powder coat to stop looking shit, then they'll do it.
Oh, it's on. It's on. You know what I think would be awesome? And I think they actually have the ability to do so. And for all we know, they might already have this in place. I want there to be a room that does nothing but makeup stuff that's really outlandish and leak it out to 9to5 and Cult of Mac and the places that like this rampant speculation, and just to let them go so far crooked and just sit back and laugh. And actually, I want Apple to start calling these people out. I want to call them out all the time. And you know, not to turn this into deconstruct, but yesterday I read this headline that says, wait, I want to say the headline correctly. Oh, somebody say something while I look this up.
So I'll tell you who you need to staff that room with: a bunch of homeless people from Portland. And the reason is, Kelly? I worked in Portland for a long time, and I would take the bus. And my buddy and I got on the bus, and I think we might have had a laptop with us. And this homeless guy just was like staring at us, and all suddenly he just pipes up. He goes, "You know what computers need? Hair."
Oh, that's the Jeff Gammon line.
So maybe they're going to make him have hair and furry. This guy was a futurist, and we didn't even know it 10 years ago.
So here's the line. This one cracked me up to no end. And, you know, if I'm calling anybody out, hey, I'll call me directly, email me directly, because this should have never been printed. Weird digital crown fix will make you fear for your Apple Watch. Okay,
oh, yeah, I saw that.
So then Rob Lefevre goes on and on talking about how his, you know, sweating made a digital crown hard to turn. So he calls up Apple, and basically what they told him to do was run it under water as you turn the crown and push it in and out a couple of times to clean out the spuge. Makes good common sense. And then at the end, his very last sentence goes, "I'm pretty sure Apple wouldn't recommend it if it weren't safe." Why does your headline completely go against the last thing you said?
It's called link bait.
Oh my God. And so I fully called him out on it on the thing. And, you know, he, of course he commented back with pretty much next to nothing, but yeah, it's, I don't know. This, you know me, guys. I hate this part of journalism. I hate where we've gone with this. And it's more sad because I know Leander. We hang out all the time at Mac, where he's my friend. I'm like, you shouldn't let this stuff run across your site.
Find the Scratchgate headlines, too, that are floating around out there. You know, about the stainless steel watches scratching.
Yeah.
And at the end, they pinch in. But if you just get stainless steel polish, it polishes right out, and it's fine. Yeah.
Doc, didn't we talk about that on Deconstruct?
Yes, we did.
We talked about it on the Mac show.
It's funny because, you know, no, I brought up on the Mac show the fact that, you know, a standard is a standard is a standard is a standard. And there's many, many things in your life right now that's created out of the 301 versus the 901 versus the various different, you know, stainless steel ISO ratings. And all of them are polishable. Like, I scratched up my laser machine yesterday doing something stupid. And I picked up the mother's, which is, you know, the preferred polish. I picked up the mother's and I spent about 2 minutes rubbing the scratch out just because I'm anal like that. I want my clients to see my machine clean and pristine because it looks like the work that I'm going to do is clean as pristine. But if you scroll through YouTube and you look at some of the, you know, laser etching business places, most of those machines look so cruddy. I'm like, yo, I wouldn't trust you to put any of my stuff in there. So I guess that's a leftover from Apple training. Like the GR or Genius Room was always flawless. All the screwdrivers exactly where they need to be, because not that anybody goes back there, but if they were to like, wow, this place looks like a hospital. I trust my machine when it's in there. So when you pick up your kit from the back and you try to be nosy and peek in, everything was lined up to perfection, you know? And then I think that made people feel comfortable that their machine was well taken care of when they dropped it off.
Absolutely.
I picked up the
last
Wind Rider.
I picked up the mother's. Thank you, Wind Rider, for the show title. Bookery nailed it. He said Apple is going to use papier-mâché for all the hardware cases. Actually, some of the high-impact paper bonding that you can do now, you'd probably get a very, very strong case that would be incredibly light. So that might not be a bad shout, actually, as stupid as it sounds.
I mean, carbon fiber isn't that different.
Yeah, but you can't mill it. That's the trouble.
That is absolutely true.
That's the trouble. That's why they love aluminium, because it mills and you can recycle it.
That would be awesome.
Wait, how do you say paper mache in the UK?
Paper mache.
Wow, papier mache. That sounded like...
Well, papier mache is correct. But, you know, yeah. Right then, what are you doing on Monday night? Because we've been talking about the keynote, but you can go to the keynote and you can watch it live with other nerds, just like us. Go to London Mac User Group's website at lmug.org.uk and you can scroll through there. And they are running an LMUG event on Monday night, so you've got to get yourself going, at Tiger in the Haymarket in London. Turn up there at sort of 5 o'clock and you'll be able to get in. It's £5 on the door if you're not an LMUG member. If you are an LMUG member, then it's free. They're asking you to pay online if you possibly can, and that includes the LMUG members, but then the LMUG members get their £5 back. But I mean, it's £15 for a year to be a member at LMUG, and it really is a fantastic bunch of people. I'm working in London on Monday, so I don't know if we're going to do a live coverage. It depends whether I get the early train back or not. But if I don't get the early train back, I am going to be at LMUG. It's going to be a fab, fun time. There's loads of great people down there. Steve Neighbor MCs it. They'll play the feed to you, and you can all get jiggy with all the new stuff that's coming out. And have a great time. So get to the website, lmug.org.uk, book yourself a ticket, let them know that you're going to be coming, and have a good night. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. They're always fantastic keynotes down there. Good events. I can't recommend highly enough that that's got to be on your bucket list. Sit in a live Apple line, and also for a new product, and also go to an LMUG event, because I'm sure there's loads of mugs in your area as well if you're not in London. So, but it's worth the trip down if you are. So enjoy it. Now, the other thing, though...
As long as they don't get the cease and desist.
Well, now here's the last bit of the story around this. This is... Alt Conference has been told that it's been banned from showing the live keynote and all the live developer sessions. They've been allowed to show them in the past, or no one's said anything, as it were. but now they're being told that stuff off. And the only thing I can think is A, that they're charging 300 quid a ticket.
Yeah, so no, it's yeah.
But also, as well, the other thing that I thought was, I bet you there's a few people going, do you know what? I'm going to go to Alt Conference, and they're buying an Alt Conference ticket ahead of even trying to get a WWDC ticket, which I know they couldn't do anyway, but...
They couldn't do anyway. I mean, that's the whole reason AltConf exists. No, I mean, they ran afoul because they're charging for guaranteed spots. I think AltConf is free, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think you have to buy a ticket. It's just you get premium seat, like guaranteed seating, or they've got some VIP kind of tickets that people can buy. And I guess as part of that...
No, this is the first...
I don't know if the two are directly linked, though. I mean...
This is the first year that Alt Conference has offered a $300 paid ticket option.
But I think that's so that you can get into... I think Kelly Gaumont was kind of explaining this because I think she's going. I think what they're doing is 15 minutes ahead of each event, and I don't think it's just for the... They're for the keynote address thing. I think it's for any sort of session or talk you want to go to at AltConf. If you have one of these tickets, you get in to get your seat 15 minutes before the general, you know, free public do. So it was sort of their way of at least letting some people have a guaranteed seat at these sessions, which are filling up and you know, get full. So... and I think the keynote was just one of them. The way this letter is written, it makes it sound like they're charging to get in to see the keynote. And I don't think that was sort of what they intended.
It's probably still not happening. What they intended. It's possibly not what they intended. But what happens is you can't take a, let's say, what's the best way to put it? Once you put red dye in white milk, it's red.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So... Everything else could have been milk, food coloring. Now the whole thing is red. So that's the thing. The one thing that they're doing probably wrong is enough to generate all of it wrong because you can't unsalt it, you know? And I think that's part of it. And it also doesn't help when you are just feet away from the other conference. Like maybe if you're in a whole different city, you don't get smacked this hard. Maybe if you're on the opposite side of town, you don't get smacked as hard. But if you can walk out of one building and throw a baseball and hit the other building, and you're making a lot of noise, and you're bringing in the Facebooks and the Cydia and, you know, Capital One, GitHub, you know, Smile, like all of the best companies so it can make a lot of noise, you're stealing from Apple's fire off of a fire that they start, and you didn't even lean over and say, hey, man, can I get a light? You know,
it's actually a little bit surprising it took Apple this long to do anything.
Yeah, and that's what I said in my tweet fire yesterday. I was like, everyone knew they were coming, and everybody knows in the bottom of their heart they're wrong. We're just a little, I would say we, meaning them, and I was trying to say we so that way they would feel like I actually give a crap what they think. They feel a little hurt because they got away with it for X long, but you knew it was wrong from the minute.
Well, I mean, it's at the core, it's copyright infringement because it is too big and it is a commercial event. And
yes,
copyright infringement.
I pulled up the exact regulations off of fair use that explains why it's wrong. So I will put on.
Oh, no. I get this part of it. I'm not talking about specifically about rebroadcasting the keynote part. So, I mean, if that's the only thing you're referring to is wrong. I thought you were saying just the idea of having the Alt Conference.
Oh, no, the conference is amazing. That part is fine.
But sorry, I misunderstood.
When you're streaming the keynote at your conference that close to the other conference, you're going to kind of...
Yeah.
Like, if I were BlackBerry, I would run a conference side by side with Macworld and try to snag people as they're walking around to show them the merits of BlackBerry with Will Green being my keynote speaker. That's okay. You might get away with that. You know, that's a little almost fair comp, but the streaming part is in trouble. And part of the reason why they're in trouble, and for the people who are curious, it's 2,000 feet, six speakers, and a reasonable 2,000 square feet, 55 inch screen, six speakers, and a reasonable amount of people. That's okay. That's fair use. That's known as the Sonny Bono Act, which was attacked on the fair use. So that even small businesses, bars, and pubs can show you a live stream game or sports events, whatever, without too much trouble. And reperformance of CD at that time when the law was written, CD music and things like that. Anything larger than that, now you're getting into a small business that is possibly getting more business based off the fact that you are streaming something that somebody else paid for. And so therefore now you're in trouble. Now you need ASCAP and BMI license and, you know, rebroadcast, you know, permission and things like that.
But I mean, the whole point of this is, and it's very rare that you find something of this kind of nature where a copyright infringement wouldn't be absolutely bang on dead right. But, you know, copyright infringement is a sword that you choose to wield if you really want to, and Apple never do. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there any evidence that they've written to any of the mugs saying you can't do this? It's only AltConf, isn't it, that's it? Yeah.
I think mugs are covered under their agreement. When you sign the I'm going to be a mug agreement, I think you're partially covered under that because there's I can probably find it because I have access to ours for the Hawaii Mac users group. There's probably a paragraph in there that specifically states how, when, and why you can share keynotes and talk about this. And they even have some leeway with using Apple logos. I mean, we have permission to use Apple logos.
That's right. Like
So I think part of your promissory notice comes from signing up to be an official mug.
You can also you can mess with the Apple logo within your logo for Mug as for mug as well, can't you? It's not strictly you must show it here. It has to be this size. You can't put anything within 50 millimeters of it and that kind of stuff. So good one.
What's been the fallout from it though? I mean, if they obviously they're not going to be able to stream it, but if they reached out to Apple, has there been any comments? Because it's obviously
nothing yet
developing. It's been developing, hasn't it, for quite a few hours? So
they I mean, the last thing I heard was that they are talking to Apple through different channels and are trying to resolve this.
And they should really be doing that anyway, shouldn't they? Really, from the beginning, I think.
Yeah.
The only real fallout is all of the people that jumped on it and go, see, Apple's being mean. Apple's doing it. And again, I will point to the site with the picture of the guy with the Apple cut out of the back of his head. Like, again, they were the Buster Heim, one of the first guys to jump on it, too. I'm like, yo, you guys know better. You're adults, man. Stop writing this crap.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. I've had enough of that now. The Intel Broadwell chips are being released. They were announced at Computex 2015, and they're about 3 weeks too late to get into a MacBook, it would seem. These are specs for MacBook compatible. It's been confirmed. But they're kind of pricey. $623 for the top-end i7-595.
And I have a theory why that is, because I think Intel is expecting that they won't sell that many of those, because Skylake is coming. According to Intel, it's on schedule. It's scheduled to be released in 3-4 months.
Oh, but that Broadwell was out last year. It wasn't.
Yeah, but they look how long it took them to ship them.
Exactly.
I think is, you know, the point.
Well, Intel has throughout the whole Broadwell delays has maintained that Skylake isn't really affected by this. So I don't know. I mean, only Intel knows. But
isn't that more power saving? Is Skylake the one where the performance isn't supposed to be that much different, but the power saving improvements are supposed to be where it is?
Yep.
Okay. Are we going to see an announcement at the Apple aren't going to revise WWDC, are they? Or any of the MacBook line, rather.
No.
For this, they're not going to include any of this. So it may well be compatible, but is a suggestion that you might actually never see Broadwell chips in a MacBook.
Very, very likely.
Really? Okay. You might get some kits, maybe, then, or something. I don't know. Weld your own board.
Remember those Orange PC and Orange Micro? You had the little upgrade chips back in the days, or Sonnet also had one. Those things were cool. Like, I remember putting one in a Performa to turn it into a Quadra or something of that nature, and it was the coolest thing ever at the time. Like, am I the only one that old?
Adam's worrying that his microphone was off the whole show up until now. No, I think that's
why maybe he was hearing the fan noise.
Yeah, you were.
I was on the internal mic from the very beginning.
I think you were too, because I was sitting thinking here. I think that's
Skype
not the
messed
quality.
Up.
Yeah, there we go. Doesn't
matter. Well, no, it was the input on Skype was off. And I never touch it, so I don't know how. I mean,
it's not as bad as the echoey shit that I'm producing, so. Also, then with Intel, they announced Thunderbolt 3 with USB-C single cable support for dual 4K displays at 60 hertz, which is pretty impressive with power. Are we excited about Thunderbolt 3, boys?
This is one connection potentially, isn't it? So, have I got this right that this connector will take a USB C cable plus a Thunderbolt 3 cable too. So it'll take both those types of cables, is that right?
You can do both USB 3.1 and Thunderbolt with the same port. That's the specification, depending on what you connect to it.
So this is potentially going to be the only port that you're going to see on MacBooks, MacBook Pros, the whole thing, isn't it?
Do we know does the USB-C port that's in the current MacBook support Thunderbolt 3 then?
That's a good question.
If the firmware or, you know, does it need an extra chip, or is this another one of those things where Apple secretly slipped in something that they can turn on in the future?
As far as I know, Thunderbolt 3 will be in Skylake. Except for Intel putting it in the Core M?
Yes.
CPU? In the new MacBook. I don't see this happening.
So we get the support USB. We get Thunderbolt 3 support with the Haswell. Like, is that bit able to be turned on in the new Haswell? Because my thing I'm looking for is the 40 gigabytes per second. I mean, anytime I can move video data or raw camera data faster, I am down like four flats. Like, I'm loving using it now. Yeah.
Yeah. The controller chips are critical, I think, with Thunderbolt.
So we need another laptop boost somewhere in the fall.
And that's what I'm expecting. Probably sometime early next year. Apple releasing or revamping the Pro line and releasing it just with USB Type-C. The big question for me is, will Apple reduce the overall number of ports? Because, I mean, right now we have basically four. We have two Thunderbolt and two USB ports. And my fear is that Apple will say, we only need two ports, which would be, would be hard for me.
I think you go at least three USB-C ports. They might standardize on one port. It might only be USB 3, and with three or four of them in there, and that would be killer in a Pro model.
Because then you can see so much you could do with that. Well, the other thing that we have to look at, what's been current up until now, through Cal Digital, Elgato, Matrox, and Belkin, just to name the ones that come to the top of my head, all of the little side boxes that you can add that allow you to sort of use your Mac as a dock with these things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's always irked me about all of them is they all come with two Thunderbolt ports, but you need one of those Thunderbolt ports to connect it to the Mac. So even after you buy this extra thing that's now your dock, which I've been wanting to buy for literally 3 years, you only end up with one naked port. So up until you get a drive that actually has both Pukas on it, you've never really been able to daisy chain it. All the portable drives, my Western Digital Pocket RAID over here, they all only have one port. My, what you call this thing over here, Black Magic HDMI to Thunderbolt converter box that I used for streaming for the longest time until we got, you know, really cool stuff over USB 3. Even again, that would just eat the port and the port was gone. So this works, but I hope that whatever licensing is involved allows the docking style boxes to come out with more than two ports. If you start the machine with one, then the docks need to be able to get a minimum of three.
Yeah, and there's another question I have that doesn't seem to be clear. We know that, we know from the new MacBook, and we now know with Thunderbolt that you can charge the device using the USB Type-C or Thunderbolt port. Mm-hmm. The question is, can you use any port or just one of them? We had the same question when we were talking about the new MacBook.
Yeah, that's wicked, because on the new MacBook, to be able to plug it into like an Anker or, you know, some other battery and charge that sucker is pretty badass.
I would imagine, because then would you have to if it was only one port, would you have to label it? But then you have the flip side of it is, what happens to the idiot? I guess you'd have controllers in there. What happens to the idiot who like plugs two chargers into two different ports?
Yeah, and trying to make it charge faster or something.
I would imagine it would be controlled in the hardware though. Just like, I mean, currently, you know, you can stick a 85 watt charger on a Mac that only needs 45 watts to charge, and it's fine. You know,
It's only going to pull what it needs. But I mean, what happens? Is that what happens if you stick it in the wrong port or?
I would imagine the way it works is all of them have the ability to carry power, and it just, you know, in the controller chips, it knows, okay, this component, you know, the MacBook itself needs, you know, 45 watts. So I don't care where the power is coming from. I'm just going to draw 45 watts off of this, off of this USB-C, wherever it is. It's got to be smart. The controller's got to be smart enough to just know how to manage that.
Before we get too long in the tooth and we forget, I think one of the key elements of this WWDC that we haven't touched on yet is that we're getting access finally to the full Apple Watch developer kit.
Yeah.
Woohoo. That's the big one to me. I can almost care about almost anything else that comes out except for the access. Okay, maybe Apple TV, that I would love. But the full Apple Watch developer kit, because I am so happy with what we have now, and we have barely scratched the surface, no pun intended, people with stainless steel watches. to me, like, native apps on the watch is going to be mind-blowing, because they're kind of like mind-farting right now. I don't know what the smaller version of blowing, but I really just can't
wait for this.
Mind-popping, there you go. That sounds like something I did in the 60s. Wait, I was only three. Never mind. Anyway, yeah, let's talk about that, guys. What do you guys think?
I just want Apple to... to be honest, when I look at my use case, I don't actually use that many third-party apps at the moment. I think the stuff I'm missing is like reminders. There's no native reminders app. Right. I'd quite like to see a native notes app. I find that I'm using Evernote a hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. on my Apple Watch for stuff like, you know, locker combinations and stuff like that. So I think it's going to be nice. But for me personally, I use Dark Sky is one of the ones that I'm using. I don't find the performance actually that bad. What I think is going to be interesting is kind of the limitations they're going to put in terms of what you can and can't do in a native app, just for, you know, battery and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think getting those graphics right are going to be big. Because that's one of the reasons why the faces work so well. But yeah, certain apps are gonna have to learn how to readdress pixels, you know, so that you're not eating all the power when you have the app on. And to your point, Lee, I use Evernote, but I think I always use Evernote. But the one app that I'm missing that I would really, really want, and that's AnyDo. And I've spoke to the cats over at AnyDo, and they say they're working on it. But they were kind of sitting around waiting for the full developer kit to come out. I've been using the built-in reminders, but it doesn't have that same feel. And I think part of that is it's a Band-Aid app, not a full-going app. And I would love to see something where I'm not supposed to go swimming, but when I go do my laps, if I open up Map My Fitness and I say, okay, I swam for an hour, that doesn't show up on my little green exercise wheel. It tells me you've exercised for 2 minutes. And I'm like, screw you. I just spent an hour in the pool chasing around a five-year-old, and I don't get any credit for that. You know, so that part drives me a little bit wonky.
You should be arrested for that.
I mean,
that's messed up, too.
for me, it's and it's more a general WWDC or whatever Apple releases thing. Whatever they do, please make it stable and make it work, because nothing is worse than cool features that don't work. And the status quo we have right now just isn't what I expect. It's not as bad as some people make it look like, but it's still annoying.
Fair enough. It's because you're used to German engineering.
No, I'm used to stuff just working so I can get my work done.
So yeah. Is it Das Watch instead of Das Auto?
I've got to say, chaps, I'm not very happy with my watch at the minute. I loved my watch at the start, and it was great, and I still like the functionality and that kind of stuff, but what I'm not enjoying is the fact that the stand-up notification comes when I'm driving at 70 miles an hour. That's pissing me off. And the other night, I was stood up at Mile End Tube Station. I was on the track. So I was about probably 30 to 40 meters underground, and it said I should stand up when I was actually stood up already against the railing.
Yeah. Because it's mislabeled. Didn't we talk about this?
No.
The fact that it's mislabeled. So it's not a stand. The problem is they called it a stand notification. It shouldn't be called stand. It should be called move.
Yeah,
because a bunch of people have noticed, hey, I work at a standing desk and it's telling me to stand and I'm already standing. Well, the problem is you're at a standing desk, but you're only moving your fingers. You know, you're tapping on the keyboard. You haven't actually moved around. So it's really trying to tell you to move. I don't know how they solved the car problem or, you know, I'm sitting on the subway problem. But, you know, really what it's supposed to be is, hey, we've noticed been pretty sedentary for the last hour, you know.
The car problem is easy to solve, but it's to the cost of battery, because what they have to do is let the GPS keep telling you, well, he's on the move. So if he's Oscar Mike, ignore that. But that's going to eat up a lot of battery, especially if you're taking a long road trip. But I've wondered that, Adam, and I like Patrice said, I have been ignoring the people screaming bloody hell murder, like what a waste of $400 because of that. So I haven't looked into it, but now you tell me, because I am standing at my laser all day, and sometimes when you're doing the graphics, it would tell me to stand, and I'm with you, and like, I'm sitting in the bathroom or standing in the bathroom taking a whiz and tells me to stand up. I go, I'm already standing up and I'm taking a whiz. Like, cut that out. Like, that part
doesn't matter. No, it's averaging, like, how much have you moved moved around in the past hour? And if you haven't met whatever the criteria is, then it notifies you. The interesting thing, too, is it always notifies you 10 minutes before the end of the hour so that you can have a chance to move around. So it's actually on a timer. So if you've ever been somewhere where everybody has an Apple Watch, I've been on some podcasts, you know, and we're talking, we all have an Apple Watch. It'll all go off at the same time. Everybody will get it at exactly the same time, which is interesting because that just is a testament to Apple's, horology thing where they said, you know, this thing is accurate to what, 50 milliseconds or something like that.
Yeah. The other thing is I've started getting a little red symbol at the top where the notifications dot is that I can't find your iPhone. And that's been really quite worrying because that's been when I was downstairs and the iPhone was directly above me while I was sitting watching the TV. So the ability to reach that far is not in comparison. And the other day I had one, I was sat here and my iPhone was over on the cooker over the other side of the room there and I got the notification. I'm not connected to your iPhone.
Should it be using your Wi-Fi anyway?
Yeah, it should be. If you're on the same Wi-Fi network, it should slip over to that, even if the Bluetooth is having an issue.
Yeah. I've had something similar even since updating to that one.
It's the last update,
update, the 1.0.1, where it's been losing connection to my phone, even sometimes when it's been in my pocket. And I'm at home with Wi-Fi. So I don't know if that's something maybe just for a small amount of people may be experiencing. The one that's really annoyed me a little bit is the change of stance on the heart rate monitoring. I was quite liking the fact it was doing it every 10 minutes. Now they're doing it, obviously. It seems to be if it notices you moving, it doesn't bother recording. And that's definitely not a battery saving change, because it was working fine before and the battery was fine. So I know they've updated the documentation to say that it's now performing as they intended it to. But I'm hoping with WWDC we can potentially have a little toggle to turn that on and off. But I don't know what you guys think about that.
The other thing I was going to say was we spent Sunday doing this thing. I was up and down these stairs like a yo-yo. Everyone was. How hard were we working, Lee?
Yeah.
And I got 4 minutes of exercise credited to me, I think.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
I did too. What the hell are you on?
That's exactly what I was talking about. But I think it has to do with what they consider exercise.
It's heart rate.
Adam's going to correct me. It's double your heart rate for X amount of time. Right, Adam?
See, I've got a low heart rate.
You know, I can't correct you because I don't know. I think I had read somewhere, too, that it kind of learns how much you move around and adjusts. Supposedly, it's supposed to adjust that thing, but you know what you and Lee is describing would be counter to that. It sounds like almost. But what I wanted to comment on Lee's thing about the heart rate sensor, because I was baffled by that too. You know, a lot of people throwing out that maybe they changed it to save on battery. But I had a conversation with somebody else, and we started talking about. And I never monitored my heart rate much before this, but some folks have told me that generally when you're monitoring your heart rate and you're trying to just sort of get a baseline to overall sort of average your health, that the general recommendation is that you initially take your heart rate when you're in a resting state. And so if you're if it detects you're moving around, it's going to assume you're not really resting at that point. So I think the idea is that the sort of passive taking your heart rate is supposed to sort of establish a baseline so that it can compare against when you are active and doing movement versus exercise mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And that's the most plausible explanation that I've heard, the one that seems to make most sense if that's an accurate statement. I just don't know. Maybe health fitness right. people can tell me. Is that sort of what's recommended by doctors, is that you establish a resting baseline heart rate and then everything else sort of, you know, fluctuates from there?
I think that's right, because when I was in the Army and I used to do hypostatic testing for soldiers, that was one of the things that we would do. When they first came in, we would tell them, okay, you got to sit for 5 minutes so we can get your resting heart rate. And then we're going to have you stand up real quickly and take your heart rate and blood pressure again. And it was to help you figure out if everyone's being properly hydrated. So it's known as a hyperstatic vitals. And you're right. And then we would do that 3 or 4 times to see how fast they can recover too. And it would also tell us right away, okay, this person is not showing the signs, but they're making sort of dumb mistakes that they're getting in trouble for. So we're going to start them on an IV of lactated ringers and saline in order to get their fluids back up, because they're dehydrated, but they're not showing the right signs. They're not doing the projectile vomit diarrhea type thing yet, but they're definitely not performing at the proper duty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So here's the problem that Apple did, is they came out and confirmed, yes, we changed it and that was on purpose. But they didn't bother to explain why they made the change. And I think that's what most people are upset about, is they're like, hey, it was, I really liked the fact that it was doing it every 10 minutes religiously. Now it's not. And I don't know why. If they would just come out and say, here's why we changed it, because, you know, you're supposed to. So all we can do is sit here and speculate and, you know. Yeah. That doesn't help anybody.
That really upset me, because I liked that, and I was upset about the fact that it didn't do it anymore. So I was looking for an explanation. I mean, I'm guessing there is a good reason, but I mean, Apple could have just told us.
Yeah.
I love the fact that it calibrates your walking steps by itself, because the reason why everybody was getting like, oh, it's different from my Fitbit. It's different from the Fitbit. Takes what you stuck in it and called that a day. The Apple Watch is calibrating based on your gait, and I know this to be true because goofing off trying to play basketball the other day, I kind of screwed up my ankle. So I've been hobbling for like the last week, and I'm noticing that it made an adjustment, and it even told me, oh, you should change your movement goal to this because you're coming in slightly under. And it's because I've been walking like half crooked, but now that it's getting better, it came back and it says, okay, we're going to move your movement goal back up. So it understands what it does understand. Shut up. I was hoping no one would say that. Okay, I can't take it to the rack anymore, but yeah.
Chat room is Booker has chimed in, and he says, is lactated ringers a sort of cover band? Lactated ringers were a cover band, absolutely. Now then, what are you doing on the 3rd or 4th of July, fellas? Because you should be over here and you should be coming to the bash. Yes, now we had an email actually came in, and someone said, you keep going on about the bash, but you don't actually say what the bash is. Stick with me, because if you go to BritishTechNetwork.com, there it is, Wheaters smiling on the pocket show. If you go all the way down to the bottom of the page, you'll see The Bash in the supporters bit. Click on The Bash and it'll take you to where you can buy your tickets, and you get your curry ticket and your bash ticket at this point. But if you look, it says, if you're still doing what The Bash is, then let us tell you more. And Wrighty's written a little piece there about what's the bash. Then bash is a pilgrimage. It's where you need to be. But what is it? Well, for the unanointed, the bash is an annual meetup of BTN's community of loyal followers, and it takes place in Birmingham over 3 days, which include a curry on the Friday, the bash itself on the Saturday, and the What I Know Day on the Sunday. Come and join us and meet with hosts and guests of various BTN shows and lots of other like-minded friendly folk. We hire a fantastic facility. I've just paid for it this week. It's called The Link, and it's down in the village of Waterorton near to where I live. And we've got a big garden out the back that we can all sit in if it's lovely sunshine, and we've got an indoor part if it starts to rain. So we've had fantastic weather there for the last 3 years. And it's just BTN listeners that turn up, and we'll sit and chat. We might make a podcast or two. We'll have loads of fun. We did an egg and spoon race last year that was hilarious. after people were pissed.
No pancake race?
No, we did a space hopper Grand Prix the year before, and every year we've had the World Card Cutting Championships, and I thought, well, I was just going to do it one year and it would die a death and that would be the end of it, but everyone says they want to keep it. So there will be the World Card Cutting Championships. And so far it's been won by a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old. So it's
awesome.
It's a fabulous. Awesome. There is no one that cannot win that tournament. We've had proof of it because there isn't a single adult who's won it. And the good news is they've both been Steve Naber's kids. And the bad news is that Carly Naber can't come this year. She's got a girls' weekend, so Steve's coming with the kids on his own. The good news is it's one less neighbor that we need to beat. Because in the run of things, there's a potential there that the neighbors could have walked away with the title again this year. And we'll have some prizes. Now, one of the things that really is cool is we're going to have an Oculus Rift there. There's going to be a whole pile of stuff on there that will demo how it uses the spatial awareness and how it interacts with what's in the outside world. And there's a VR firm that are going to bring it virtual. I need to look at the virtual. I've forgotten the bloody name already. But they're going to bring it down. And the guy that's doing it is going to set it up so that everyone can use it. And yes, it'll be wiped around with some wipes, and no one gets conjunctivitis or anything from it. And everyone can have a go and understand how it works. There'll be loads of stuff to do there during the day. I think it was a ping pong table last year that we played on. We watched the rugby, we watched the Lions tour the year before, so there's a British Grand Prix on, so British Grand Prix practice will be on the huge screen that we've got there as well. You won't miss a thing. It'll be great fun, absolutely brilliant fun. It is a lovely, lovely day out. If you're over 16 years of age, I'm afraid it's going to cost you £20 for a ticket. That's because you're going to probably, well, 18, if you're over 18, you've got to buy a ticket. That's because you're going to be drinking all the beer. All your beer is provided, all your food's provided, everything you need, soft drinks are provided for all the kids. There is nothing that you need to bring apart from yourself for the day. Bring a change of clothes in case it's cold so you can do trousers and shorts and that kind of stuff, and that's it. Have some fun with us. And if you bother to come up, then £20 gets you all the beer you can drink and all the food you can eat. And if you've got a kid, then bring the kids, because all kids are free. Everyone under 18 is free of charge. They don't have to do anything. And last year the kids were brilliant. They were really well behaved, and there was like a cluster of 20 of them that were just kind of really playing together nicely. It was a really, really fantastic fun family day. So get yourself a ticket booked, come along. If you're sitting there going, well, £20 is a lot of money, the venue costs me £400 just to hire it. And the catering is £500 for 50 people. And the food, how good's the food, Steve? Steve, how good's the food?
Cracking.
Cracking, there you go. It is the best food you will ever eat at a party, mate. It's done by Leanne, who's stunningly good at making fudge brownies. The chocolate fudge brownies are just, mate, you can't get enough of them. They're absolutely fantastic. So there's loads of food, there's loads of fun, and it's good fun. So get yourself along, 3rd and 4th. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a live show. The live Max show is going to be here at 3 p.m. as normal on the 3rd. Don McAllister's going to be here. He's going to be taking part. And he's also going to be officially opening the new offices, the new studios. So we'll be putting a dress on and cutting a red ribbon across the front door. And then whoever wants to turn up and join in the Max show live can come here. They can mill behind me, or they can go in the other room, or they can do what the hell they like. And then after this, we're going to lock up and we're going to go for a curry over at the Kismet, the best curry house in the world. You need to give me a £10 deposit for that. That just reserves your seat, but that £10 comes off your bill. So that's not going to be anything else. And then we'll wake up with a hangover on Saturday and mosey on down to Water Orton and have some fun down there. Can't beat it. It's a fantastic weekend. The What I Know bit is limited to 30 people. We've got 26 at the moment who want to come to my house. The reason it's limited to 30 is because I can't get any more people in my house. But it's we've got Alan Hausch, who's going to do a bit of What He Knows on Windows. I'm doing a bit on photography. I think Ian Lewis might do a bit on photography. Paul Wheatley's going to do a bit on wireframing. Wrighty's doing a bit on networking, I think, or something like that. So there's it's just a little half hour of here's what I know, and maybe you might learn something. It's not compulsory. You can sit outside and get pissed if you want, but it's your choice. There you go. Come along. It is loads of fun. I promise you, you will have a great day. Get your ticket now, because it's getting a bit close to the event and I'm out of pocket on the venue already. So that would help. Excellent, chaps. Is there any more stories we want to do? I don't know. I don't want to do the Beats recall because I couldn't be given arse about Beats myself.
Does anyone care about music streaming? Potential music streaming.
Well, no, there's a bit of numbing and ahhing about that as well, about what's going to be provided and whether it's going to be officially launched or not. There was a story that said it was definitely coming, wasn't there, this week? Was that Wall Street Journal?
Well, I don't know if definitely, but yeah, all the rumours seem to say that, you know, they're pretty sure that something's going to happen around the music. The thing for me is country availability. You know, we haven't even got iTunes Radio here yet, so that's kind of what I'm going to be interested in. I'm a long-time Spotify user. So it's going to be hard, I think, to get me off that service. So that's the big part I'm looking forward to is the music and seeing what they announce, if they announce anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's the other thing is the geo issues of it as well, whether we're actually going to get it. Because there were some stories this week kicking around about TV services and that kind of stuff and National Geographic Channel popping up. And I haven't seen the National Geographic Channel pop up on my Apple TV. Maybe I need to do an update, but I just... There's so much of this that is geo-based, and I just kind of I see stuff on media content, and I automatically switch off because I'm thinking, well, we ain't going to get it anyway, so what's the point?
Yeah, you guys don't even have iTunes Radio yet. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, people in Americans think that people in Hawaii are foreigners, so I mean, it's...
Oh, my God, you have no idea. I just went through that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, forget about the rest of the world, eh? Stuff it.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, we can't ship to Hawaii. Why? Because we don't ship internationally. I'm like, brother, lean over and look at the flag in your office. We don't have a flag in your office. Okay, first problem. I'm like, there's 50 stars in the flag. And the guy's like, okay, yeah. I go, guess which one is number 50? And they're like, what? I go, it's called 48 contiguous states, Alaska and Hawaii. We have United States Post Office. We speak English, among other things. And the guy could not get out of his head that shipping to Hawaii wasn't international shipping.
Seriously?
Yeah, to this very day. And I'm just like,
American education system, go.
Oh, my God. I really wanted to scream. And he's like, yeah, well, we don't do international shipping, so I don't know what to tell you. I'm like, you ship by the post office. It's not going to cost you 1 cent more. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was super stupid.
Okay. So. Jolly good. Right. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're absolutely stunning. Please, please, please. We've got a few sponsors that we need to say thank you for. And what we'd love you to do, if you possibly can, is just tweet out to @UK2 and say thanks for supporting the British Tech Network. Or if you buy a domain, say just scored my domain with @UK2. Thanks to @BritishTech for pointing me in the right direction. Their customer services are second to none. They are absolutely brilliant. All our stuff is with them. All my personal business stuff is with them. All Paul Wheatley's personal business stuff and a few of his clients is with them as well as. There's a lot of people using them. They are great. Web domains, .london domains, 50% off at the moment, I think, as well, which is absolutely brilliant. Check them out. Go to britishtechnetwork.com and then click on the sponsors link and go to UK2 or britishtechnetwork.com/UK2. If you go to the sponsors link, though, you'll get a whole series of offer codes and you can get money off VPS, VPN, domain names, big discounts, up to 20% on some of the stuff, which is a fair old bit. So check them out and be sure, please, to say thank you on Twitter or Facebook or something like that to them. And if you're sitting going, well, you know, I'm an American, what the hell do I want to know about UK2 for? Well, you can buy stuff off them in America. It doesn't matter. They just use PayPal, so the exchange rate is the only thing. But don't worry, because you can go to 100tb.com. And 100tb.com are the people that sponsor us for the live shows here. They provide the super fast server that does all the live streaming, and it is fast. It's 2 seconds to the world with distributed content management processes. So you can get an entry-level server from them for $139, and it's the one that we are using to stream the shows out to you. So it is fast. Well done. It's good money well spent. So again, @100TB on Twitter, just please give them a little buzz and say thanks for supporting British Tech, because it makes a world of difference. And of course, lastly, Wirecast. Wirecast are absolutely fantastic. If you could, then again, tweet out to @Telestream. Also check out their ScreenFlow product, which is kind of the more consumer end of the things that they do. It is fundamentally the best application that you've got for screen capture and kind of screencasting, if you like, for that stuff. Brilliant. Right, chaps, have we got a cool thing? Lee, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, so something I've been playing around with the last couple of days, as part of Google I.O. last week, they released Cardboard finally for iOS. So right. I've bought myself a set of cheap, these were on Amazon, sorry Ewan, they were on Prime.
No,
but they were only about £6, so I don't feel so guilty. Right. But yeah, basically what you do, you just download the Cardboard app from the App Store. That comes with a few demos. You know, you can pick the headsets up all over the place. But I just went on Amazon, and I'll put the link into the chat so you know which one I got.
Well, yeah.
So download the Cardboard app. There's a few kind of demos on there. There's also an app. I'll just check what it's called. It's called Orbalus. It's Mojo VR is the name of it, and that's one where they've taken lots of different kind of photos from different locations in the world. That one's quite good. And if you're into your Formula One, there's one called Roman's Run, which is Roman Grosjean, where is he now? I forget which team he's at now, but basically it's kind of a camera set above his car, and that's quite a good one as well. But yeah, for something cheap to mess around with, I've had great fun messing around with it with my daughter this morning. We have had a good kind of couple of hours playing around with it, so definitely recommend that.
Excellent. No, good one. Superb. We'll give that a go. I've put a link in the show notes as well. Wonderful. Adam, have you got a cool thing for us?
I do. I have a Mac thing this time around, and it's actually a game. It's called Lumino City. Okay. I will, again, put a link in the chat here in a second.
Get those links in early,
but chaps. What's cool about this game is how it was actually built. So it's, you know, like a 3D game where you walk around, you're this little girl, her grandfather has gone missing, and you're sort of trying to go through this city that he has helped maintain and meet different folks and you're trying to locate him, basically, is the simple way to put the story. And, you know, so it's one of these kind of puzzle style games where you're trying to get through different sections of sort of this city. But what is really amazing about it is, you know, it's a 3D style game, but the way they actually built it is it's all built out of actual paper craft. So everything you're seeing on the screen was actually photographed and filmed from actually being made and constructed out of paper. So just visually, it's really, really amazing. Yeah. And it's a great game. I got it on Steam. I don't remember what the price was. I want to say it was about $20. I think you can buy it direct. There's several ways to get it. So for the Mac, and it's a lot of fun and just visually very beautiful. Excellent. So I like that a lot. And along with that, I also have kind of a secondary pick. I believe this game is called Firewatch. It's not out yet. It's in preview, but it's a game that's being developed by Panic Software, makers of Transmit. And there is now a really cool video out showing, I think, the first couple minutes of gameplay. And it looks amazing, and I can't wait for it to come out.
Again, give us a link in the chat, and fellas,
I'll find that for you. I'm pretty sure it's called Firewatch. It's the game that Panic Software is developing.
Brilliant.
And Victor Cahiao told me about that. And then the last thing, I need to do this. If you App Camp for Girls, I want to throw it out there. They are doing another round of funding. If you don't know what this is Gene McDonald from Smile Software. Or formerly of Smile Software, has started up a program to help inspire girls to get into development. And she's running these great camps, and it's a great program. They're a nonprofit. They're trying to do another round of funding on Indiegogo. So if you can just donate any amount helps, they really could use their help moving toward their goal. I think they're trying to raise in this round $100,000. And the important part about this one is I think it's partially to help them get other corporate sponsors to show that, you know, they're doing their part to try and do some grassroots funding and try and get more people in there supporting it. Mm-hmm. So please, if you haven't, go support this next round of funding. They've been able to do some great things over the past couple of years with the round of funding they did initially on Indiegogo, and they're just trying to ramp it up to the next level, get in more cities, more locations and stuff like that, so they can use your help.
Good. Yeah, no, definitely a worthwhile cause. Superb.
Yep. Thank you.
Cool. Doc, put your links in the chat room, fellas, and then I'll get something visual up as well. Doc, what have you got for us?
All right, so this is my favorite new thing, and I want to say I'm almost out on the limb and say that it's finally been done correct, but Dennis and Igor, my friends over at Riddle Software, longtime fans of theirs, came out with this new email client for iOS, and it's called Spark. And Spark is a freaking amazing. Like, it's really, really funny to say, I hate email. Let's just get that straight. absolutely despise email. I think it needs to be revamped. I wouldn't know where to start with that, so I don't complain about it as much as I probably want to. But Spark is amazing. It makes it so easy to go through your messages. It makes it so easy to like reply to calendar invites. So when the Weeders sends me like, you know, three messages in a row, are you going to be on Big? Are you going to be on Pocket? Are you going to be on, you know, Mac Show, whatever. I'm just like, click, click, click. Boom. My answer is Weeders. I never even had to take my whiskey out of my hand. Like, amazing. Absolutely amazing. I don't want to like sell you on what it's going to be like for you because it's so customizable. You can make it do whatever you want. And a lot of that customization is intelligent. It figures it out by itself without you touching anything. But then if you want to go in and tweak it, you can get even deeper. So hats off to these guys. And it comes at the most ridiculous price tag of free. Like, there's not even any in-app purchases yet. I'm like, Dennis, you know, what's going on? I've been chatting with him on the back channel. And he's like, I don't know. We just felt like doing it. And I'm like, man, the economy must be great in the Ukraine because there's no reason why you should give this away. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So
yeah, it's a great email app. I moved it to my dock. I took Apple's Mail app out, and this is now sitting in my dock next to Fantastical.
Boom. So, Adam, great idea. I'm doing it right now.
So this is available for iOS and OS X?
Yeah, for OS X, it's not yet available.
Not OS X. It's iOS.
But the cool part is the watch look. And the watch look is only going to get better as they, you know, again, we get the full dev kit coming up pretty soon.
Right. Yeah. And you can do, I found this for Michael Johnston on the iOS show because he was complaining he wanted a watch app where he could actually reply to email. So you can actually do dictation. You can do quick replies and dictate emails from your Apple Watch if you want to do that sort of thing. That's not been a killer feature for me. There's a bunch of other stuff in there, but if you're looking for something more for more full-featured mail client on your watch, this is it.
I thought you were going to say more affordable. I was like, yeah, don't get more affordable than free, cousin.
No. More full-featured.
Now then.
So it's very amazing, brother. You're going to love it. Even if you hate email, you're going to love this app. Like, it's wicked.
Cool. Now then, do you want a caricature? Because you can have one if you want. Just like the ones that we have on the start of the shows and the ones that we put up on Twitter and that kind of thing. There's mine with the pending logo and the sticker bomb artwork. Now, if you would like that on the back of your MacBook, you can have a look at, here's my MacBook Air look, and I've got the sticker bomb artwork on the back. There it is. With my logo, and it's on the back of my MacBook Air, and it's superb. People get a chuckle at this on the train when they see me because they can clearly tell it's me. You think? Yeah, no, definitely me. So if you'd like one of those caricatures, and you get the sticker bomb artwork that you can make into a vinyl to go on the back of your iPhone or onto the back of your MacBook Air, then all you got to do is send $100 to Len Peralta. Write to btncaricatures@gmail.com and we'll give you instructions how to get started on it and push you through to Len. And he will draw your caricature and you will get a special BTN price for that. There we go. And it will be superb and dandy. Batwench had hers done. Now she gets her All Access Areas pass. She also then gets a banner of her choice that goes into the rotation. And she chose Batwench's BTN Podcast Dream Team, which is all listed up there, which a few of these people are in. And it was great. It's fantastic. We've also had Dan Rodriguez has had his picture done, and Anders and Arthur have had theirs done as well. They all got the sticker bomb artwork. Arthur's using his on Twitter at the moment as his avatar. And, of course, now we're in the new BTN Prime HQ premises. You will also get yourself on the Wall of Shame with all of us. So all of us have had our caricatures done. We've got another 10 that are happening this week with Len. So they're going to go up and there'll be 22 pictures up on the wall down there. And your picture will automatically join and hang with all of our tech luminaries that come on. Andy Anatko, Tom Merritt, everything. They'll all be down there. So it's well worth it. And then when you come to the bash, you can see your own picture on the wall because they'll all be up. There we go. There you go. It's only £60 UK if you want that, so it's $100. And Len's drawing is just incredible. He really has captured everyone perfectly just from three pictures that we've sent him. Superb. Right, last but by no means least, Patrice, what do you have for us, sir, as a cool thing?
Yeah, because we haven't really talked about HomeKit, there have been a few releases, hardware releases this week, finally. We've been waiting for them for almost a year now. And my pick is the Elgato Eve system for two reasons. One, it's actually available in Germany. According to their press release, it should also be available in the US and the UK, but I couldn't find it on Amazon yet. So it's on pre-order now. So it's gonna be another few weeks before it actually ships. So maybe that will change. But I mean, HomeKit is really awesome, and their devices. I mean, I've been a big fan of Elgato, of that company, for years, because their TV stuff and their apps and everything was really, really amazing. And they as TV seems to have been less and less important, they have moved on into other areas, and I mean, their devices look really, really cool. I think they released them, or they announced them sometime earlier this year, and right now you can pre-order four different devices, so a little plug for your lights, a sensor for your doors or windows, a weather sensor you can put it outside and see humidity, temperature, air pressure, stuff like that, and one for your room, which will report air quality, temperature, and humidity. Really awesome devices. I can't wait to give them a try, and I'm going to ditch my current system for those. So,
excellent. They're not horrifically priced either.
No. Actually, I would say reasonable. It's not cheap, but it's reasonable.
Yeah, no, I like that. Well done, mate. It's a good pick. I've got to say that the HomeKit stuff and the automation, I've been talking to Rob in the chat room, who's really into the home stuff, and it's something that really is picking at me, and it's I would like to get into this, but the only thing that holds me back is the fact of I could end up broke in a year by automating the home and all the stuff, especially if it's on Prime. I'm holding back. But those aren't horrifically priced. They're good prices, you know, $39.
When HomeKit and Siri integration happens, the Apple Watch is going to become amazing, because that becomes your Star Trek comm badge.
Rob's in the chat room. He's just put, no, you will end up broke, Ewan. So don't do it. My cool thing is something that came up on the big show last night as a conversation, and I thought, well, I haven't recommended that on the Mac show. I'm going to do it. It's a film on iTunes that I watched a few months back, and I watched it again last week, and it's The 100-Year-Old Man Who Climbed Out the Window and Disappeared. And the wife, we kind of like the same films. There's very few films where we watch where she loved it and I hated it. We tend to like the same kind of stuff. And I watched this and I absolutely adored it. And she said, well, what is it then? I said, well, it's kind of like Forrest Gump meets The Incredible World and Walter Mitty, but not. It's not fantasy. I said, it's just an amazing story about an old guy who, like the Forrest Gump thing, he crops up in periods of history and does amazing things without realizing it. And it's a lovely, lovely film to watch. It's great. It's probably about £4.99 at the moment on the iTunes store. And it's well worth the watch. She won't watch it just because of the title. So they need to think about redoing it. But it was a great film. Have a watch. And if you don't like it, write to me and tell me that I'm an idiot. Because there's a queue for that email chain. There we go. Cool. I've got loads of other stuff as well that I bought. Tons of stuff that's kicking around that I haven't used yet because I bought it this week. But my cool thing is BTN Prime HQ, because I absolutely adore it.
All our watches started pinging us right now.
I was just typing that into the chat.
Right, chat.
I was just typing that into the chat just now. That's super funny.
We need to finish up because I think Adam's probably got his call going on. Where can we get a hold of you boys, Lee?
Best place to get a hold of me is on Twitter, LJPUK. You can follow my writing at ljpuk.com and also at BTN, BritishChatNetwork.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me over at MacCast, MacCast.com, also MacCast on Twitter. pretty much everywhere else. Also do the iOS show at theiosshow.com with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston. And I think that about covers it. Oh, I'm on, I did a guest spot on Mac and Forth this week. So if you want to check that out, I think it's at macandforth.com. I should have looked that up earlier.
No, I will be bleeping that, mate. I ain't supporting anything that guy does.
Oh, you're not?
No, not a chance.
Sorry. Okay, well.
That'll be coming off.
There you go.
Thanks, mate. Doc, where are you, sir?
I am all over the interwebs as Doc Rock, that's DocRock, and also the BTN Prime Minister, my new Twitter account, compliments the U.S. new location, and of course on the BTN network. And yes, no, LJ, leave it alone. I love it. But I swear I read it as LJ Punk, not LJP UK for the longest time. I was like, why is it not LJ Punk, bro? But yeah, that was just me. I can't read. Anyway, thanks, guys.
All right, mate. Lovely. Thank you. And where are you, Patrice?
You can find me on Twitter at casual_kitchen. You can find my random writing at thepatrice.com. I opted for a easier to spell name, so thepatrice.com. And other than that, Mac User the Pro with Doc Rock and a couple of other people like Kelly. And that's about it.
Deconstruct.
Oh yeah, forgot about that. Every week with Jerome and Ben, we deconstruct some crazy rumors and stories at deconstruct.tv.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week as normal, Thursday night for the big show, Friday night or Friday afternoon for the Mac show. We are back. We are here. The audio will steadily improve, I promise, if I'm a bit echoey, but we're getting there. Thanks for watching. See you soon.